Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. We have 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 knots, then becoming west, 10 to 15 in the afternoon, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at about 4 seconds apart, and northwest swells 4 feet high at about 7 seconds apart. Patchy fog early in the morning, and we do have that haze from all those forest fires. 600 fires burning in British Columbia alone. So a terrible fire season, as we know. Today, later in the ship report, we're going to be hearing from the last clip from my interview with commercial fisherman Scott McMullen. He's the head of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee. And I interviewed him recently about commercial fishing gear, boats, and fishermen. And we're going to hear today about who's on the boats out there that you see going by. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders, 2 in the Astoria anchorages, and 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the FPMC 22. It's kind of an unromantic name for a ship, probably named in a very utilitarian way. Arriving from South Korea, headed for Calama, she's a tanker. She passed Astoria around 1:30 in the morning, could have arrived in Calama by 6:30 a.m. The Argent Daisy is arriving from Tacoma. She's a petroleum tanker. She will pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland around 7:30. The way you can tell a tanker when it's going by is that it has pipes and valves on deck instead of hatch covers. We're used to seeing those flat hatch covers open up the tops of the cargo holds. Well, a tanker is a liquid bulk carrier, and its liquid cargo is pumped on board with hoses and things like that, so it's a different kind of a thing. But it still is a different kind of bulk carrier, just a liquid bulk carrier. The Overseas Los Angeles is arriving from Ferndale, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll be passing Astoria around 4:30 p.m., arriving in Portland around 10:30 p.m. The Eagle Arrow is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver's anchorage. She's going eventually to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 6 p.m. Look for her around maybe midnight in the port of Vancouver. The Continental Highway, a ship with highway in its name, is generally a car carrier, and yes, that's true in this case. Arriving from Japan, headed for Portland, Toyota's on board. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 p.m., maybe in Portland by 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday. And in the Astoria anchorage, we have the TN Dawn and the Navios Prosperity awaiting orders. And our outbounders, the Densa Seal, is leaving Portland carrying potash around noontime. The American Bulker is leaving the Rainier Anchorage across the river from Longview there around noontime. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 3:30 p.m. The Hakata is leaving Vancouver around noontime. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 6 o'clock this evening. The Belle Ocean is heading out of Calama carrying wheat at about 12:30 p.m., so look for her around 6:30, passing Astoria outbound. The Little Prince is leaving Calama. She has corn, soy, or wheat on board. That's kind of a neat name for a ship. Leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. And the articulated tug and barge, the Sound Reliance, owned by Crowley Maritime. She's leaving Portland Petroleum there as well, so it's a big petroleum day on the river, refined petroleum. Leaving 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10, the kinds of refined petroleum you might see passing by on the river in these vessels is gasoline, jet fuel, even biodiesel. The Glorious Hope is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Wednesday. Well, I've been really enjoying sharing this commercial fishing series with you. Scott McMullen, he's, as I said, head of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee and has been a commercial fisherman for 45 years at least, started when he was a kid. And he came in and explained fishing gear, some of the fishing gear that we see around here. It was very interesting, something that I have not really learned much about. And so this has been very fascinating. But one of the topics that people always love to hear about is who's on board. Who are the people on board the ships that go by? And in this case, I asked him about people on board the fishing boats that we see going by, because mariners are a very invisible lot. We see their vessels going by. We generally don't see too many people on board these vessels, even the fishing boats going by, but they are there. Here's Scott McMullen. So how many people on board these fishing boats?
Well, a small salmon troller can be fished by just the captain. And when I was young, I ran a troller, and part of the time I fished by myself. Very well set up boat is fairly easy to salmon troll by yourself, or albacore tuna fish. although generally speaking, most boats have one deckhand if it's a salmon troller or tuna boat. Larger boats have maybe two. On shrimpers, they often have two crew and a captain. Bigger midwater trawlers might have three guys or even four. Black cod boats, I would guess a couple, two to five, depending on the size of the operation. So there's a variety of sort of zero to five on most of the vessels that are based around here. We do have off our coast, and we don't often see them in port, but off our coast we have factory trawlers that come out of Seattle, and they might have 90 people on board, but they're not only catching the fish, but they're processing every bit of it. I mean, the what isn't used for surimi is probably going into fish meal, and the oil's extracted. Just about every bit of that is utilized.
So you use that expression, midwater trawler. What does that mean? What does midwater mean?
Midwater means the net is designed to be opened up in the middle of the water column, so anywhere from just below the surface to just off the bottom.
And that was Scott McMullen talking about how many people on board the vessels that you see going by. So anywhere from one to about five on a relatively small craft. So, and you've certainly heard people talk about this, about life on board a fishing boat. If you've ever gone to the Fisher Poets Gathering, you hear people reading spoken word pieces and poetry and music all about that very thing. But people living in very close quarters, working very closely together, everybody's livelihood and safety depends on everyone else. And so it creates a unique environment for people to learn to get along despite their differences. And you see that in a larger context on board the big ships that go by. There are maybe 20, 30 people at most on some of these vessels, and they all become like a family in the sense that they are very aware that they depend upon one another for their safety. The ship is their home. The boat is their home while they're away. And so it becomes its own little world out there on the water. So thank you very much to Scott McMullen for all this information. I'll be talking a little bit more on the ship report tomorrow about some of the terms that you heard during this series and the differences between them, and explain a couple of extra things. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.